This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Do you mind? We're playing through. Here's Froggy and Whacker.
Hey, it's Froggy from Elvis Duran, the morning show here, another Playing Through podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in on Twitter, at PlayThroughGolf, also on Instagram, at Froggy Radio and Twitter, and then at Brian Whacker 1. Well, Brian, we're here. It's the Tour Championship week. We're finally going to get a FedEx Cup.
End of another season, wrapping up this week. I head to Atlanta for the season finale at East Lake Tour Championship. Really looking forward to that week. Actually, just looking forward to the season being over, to be honest with you.
It feels like it's drug on a little while, right?
And we're going to get into that with our guest, Brendan Steele, this week's podcast guest, who talks all things his season, the season, of course, his good buddies, Keegan Bradley, recent winner at the BMW, Phil Mickelson, of course, in Ryder Cup, Tour Championship, everything. We get into with Brendan. Looking forward to that and talking with him about all of those topics and more. But it's been a long, long year.
The BMW just carried on forever. It wouldn't stop raining.
It really was a microcosm of the entire year, really, when it comes to golf.
Yeah. And then I got worried that as this Hurricane Florence was just sitting there dumping rain, was that going to affect the Tour Championship? Thank goodness we had this week built in.
Yes.
It could have been a messy week if we tried to get that in last week. So, yes, we are going to get – there is no week off between Tour Championship and Ryder Cup, correct?
No, straight to the Ryder Cup. Woo! Straight to the – for those in the – you know, on the team, Team USA and Team Europe, they will be chartering out on Sunday night. They'll get there on the overnight, presumably get there first thing Monday, and away we go. There'll be lots of pomp and circumstances always those first few days. And then finally we'll get to the matches on Friday. And then really,
also, it doesn't start till Friday.
Right, yeah. So it doesn't start till Friday. So to me, that's when it feels like once we can get through the conclusion of the Ryder Cup, even though another season will start almost immediately afterward, it'll feel like finally the year will wrap up in golf. But it really is just, there's not a week, almost not a week on the calendar when there is not a golf tournament going on the PGA Tour. Look, it's at the end of the day, it's a business. I can't say I blame them. If there's a spot available and somebody wants to write a check, by all means, they're not going to say no. So,
nor should they.
Nor should they. I think the viewers or the fans might somewhat disagree at times, but
I think it waters down the field sometimes. And sure, I think that maybe next year with us, we're going to end up, and we're going to talk to Brendan about this later. Ending on Labor Day is probably better. Because football does start, and I think it's going to be it's a smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. Next year it'll end before Labor Day, the weekend before, so it'll be really, truly before any of the football begins. It'll have the stage to itself. Of course, the PGA Championship moving from August to May.
Right.
that sets up better for the PGA Tour because then they can own the month of August in terms of the playoffs, and there'll be some changes there with the playoffs, which we'll get into with Brendan as well. It'll become, at least for the from the Tour's perspective, hopefully an even bigger deal now or 10-plus years into it. So a lot to get into with Brendan. Looking forward to having him on here momentarily.
But now, real quick, also I want to talk to you because we haven't spoken about this since it's happened. Where do you stand on the Ryder Cup picks? Do you like the Ryder Cup picks? Do you like the Bryson, Tiger, Phil, and then Tony Finau? You agree there?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the U.S. picks were no-brainers. They really were. Tiger and Phil, they were pretty much chalked down the list if you went by the rankings and the points system. Tiger is certainly rejuvenated. Phil rejuvenated. Then you've got Bryson playing incredibly well.
Oh, he's playing lights out.
You're just lights out, winner of the first two playoff events. And then Tony Finau, a guy who's got a ton of talent, has been consistent all year long, hasn't won since 2016, his only victory. But look, the guy has played really, really well. He's played well in majors. Of course, you go back to the Masters at the start of the year when he nearly blows out his ankle on Wednesday.
Well, that's right, the par and three
then,
contest.
Right, and then he's in contention.
Right.
So to me, he's been really, really impressive. Winning is hard on the PGA Tour, okay? It's very hard to actually win tournaments. You know, Tiger made it look so easy for so long.
Right. We kind of spoiled us.
Yeah. But really a big year is three wins in a year. So, you know, I think the U.S. picks were the right picks. The Europe picks were maybe a little more questionable. Sergio has not had a good year.
Yeah.
You know, but as
since changing equipment, he has really struggled. Yeah, really. Leading TaylorMade
well, and he's
Callaway.
Gone through a lot of changes off the course as well. He got married. Him and his wife, Angela, had a baby. So there's a lot going on in Sergio land, you know, this year. But that was more of a, look, this is a guy who has a long-storied Ryder Cup record in history. And I'm sure from Europe's standpoint, they're hoping that experience and that just the vibe he brings, the energy, sort of the heartbeat, as Thomas Bjorn put it, can help spark that team. It's been 25 years since the U.S. has won over there. So,
right.
But it's hard to imagine the U.S. losing this one.
Speaking of Ryder Cup, I'm excited to see if Paulina shows up with DJ over there since he's been removed.
That's another podcast.
From our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll save that one for another podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I did see he made a comment. Yeah,
right. That could add a little spice. I'm sure the European papers will have some fun with that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen too. So here we are. We've got a guest here, Brendan Steele, three-time PGA Tour winner. He's on hold. Let's get to him. Brendan, thank you so much for coming on the Playing Through podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, including earlier this year, of course, winning the Safeway Open for the second year in a row.
Defending his
earlier
title.
This season, I should say. Yeah, defending his title. But Brendan, kind enough to join us from that hotbed of golf activity, Idlewild, California. Right, you're back home.
Yeah, of course. You know, no golf course, so it's definitely a breeding ground for PGA Tour players.
Oh, absolutely. But a good year for you. I know it wasn't the finish, you know, obviously, that you wanted with the four missed cuts in your last five starts and not reaching East Lake. But, you know, a remarkably consistent season again or year, as always, from you. Talk to us a little bit. Obviously, we're in the playoffs now. We're wrapping it up, the FedEx Cup finale here, the Tour Championship. And a lot has been made recently about the proposed FedEx Cup changes starting next year, specifically as it relates to the Tour Championship and the fact that it sounds like ultimately the points will go away once we reach the finale at East Lake. And the leader will start, the FedEx Cup leader will start at 10 under par, and everyone else will be staggered based on their position all the way down. I'm curious, two things, Brendan. What have you heard about that? And two, do you like those proposed changes?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously shaking things up. It's a big change. I haven't heard a ton about exactly where guys are going to slot in, you know, other than the leader being 10 under. And I was kind of assuming that 30th place would be around even.
Right.
And then it would just kind of fill in from there, you know, every couple spots moves down a shot or something. But, you know, it's At first, it kind of threw me for a loop, but the more I think about it, I kind of like it because it, right now you've got to be – basically, you have to be top five in order to win the FedEx Cup at the Tour Championship, because one of those guys is probably either going to win or finish second or third or whatever, and they're going to win the FedEx Cup. But in this way, anybody has a chance. It may be a small chance. You know, obviously, if DJ's first and you're starting 10 shots back of him, that's going to be hard to make it up. But if you do it, you know, it'll be pretty exciting. So I think it gives you a little better chance to win the FedEx Cup coming from any position in the top 30. And then it obviously makes the Tour Championship harder to win, if that makes sense. So gives you a little better chance to win the overall FedEx Cup and a little less chance to win the Tour Championship.
Are we hung up on the word playoffs? In other words, you know, there's been a lot made about this whole FedEx Cup system. You know, in the ratings at times haven't been great, and they've obviously made some changes. Now we're a decade plus into it, and it sounds like some major changes around the corner.
Yeah, more are coming.
Right. So do you think we're just hung up on the word playoffs? In other words, if they had called it something else, you know, you look at the LPGA with its race.
But every other major sport has a playoffs. I think that's why we've gotten into this playoff word, when it is difficult to really have a playoff system with our sport.
But do you think we're hung up too much on that word playoffs, Brendan?
No, I don't really think so. I think the changes moving forward are really good. I mean, I think we want to finish on Labor Day. That makes perfect sense to me. Three playoff events is perfect. That's plenty. And I think the reason that we've struggled with some of the ratings is that, you know, we go for the PGA Tour. Those are the biggest events of the season. You know, you've got the majors, you've got the WGCs, you know, everything like that. But you've got, for the PGA Tour itself, those are the biggest events of the year. And you don't want them up against the first couple of weeks of football. I mean, it's just kind of the way that it works. You know, everybody's excited for football to come back. You have golf year round these days, so you don't have a chance to miss it or, you know, be like, oh, I really want to watch some golf. I didn't get to watch it for, you know, 4 months here. So I think for me, it makes a ton of sense to get it finished up on Labor Day, you know, make the fall season a little bit longer, and try to take advantage of where you can slot into the schedule there. I think it's going to do a lot for the ratings, for the attention. Mm. Obviously, you know, Tiger being back and playing well, that helps it as well. So I think that the tour's in really good hands with Jay Monahan, and I think he's doing a lot of things that are really going to help, and he's very progressive in his thinking, which for me makes a very exciting time to be a part of it.
Right. You know, you mentioned Tiger Woods being back, and that's something I definitely want to ask. As a fellow playing partner and a competitor, are you happy that Tiger Woods is back out? Or do you think it makes the tour better? Or are you somebody who thinks that we were doing just fine when Tiger wasn't playing?
No, it definitely makes it better. It is a huge part of everything that we do. I mean, Tiger being out and playing well, especially, I mean, the buzz that you see around watching the PGA Championship this year, I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we want. Like, the more eyeballs on the sport, the better. And just for me as a golf fan, like, forget about playing on tour, but as a golf fan, I just love watching him play, want him to win, want him to play well so bad that it makes it a lot of fun.
Have you played with Tiger before, Brendan?
I have, yeah, just one time, my rookie year, but it's been 2011 now.
So exactly, tell me, so how different is it in a round? Because obviously in that tournament you played one round with him or two rounds max with him and then two without him. How different is it playing in a group with him versus playing in a group either behind him or in front of him, or we're totally across the golf course from him?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, playing with him, obviously there's so many people and they're constantly moving around and they don't really care about what you're doing. They just care about what Tiger's doing. They want to be in position for Tiger. When Tiger finishes out, they want to, you know, go up in front and everything. And that's fine. You just kind of know that going in. So you got to deal with that side of it, playing with him. Playing behind him is not really a big deal because everybody's moving forward.
Yep.
So, you know, there may be some movement and stuff. But
yeah, playing in front of him would probably be worse, right, I would imagine?
Right. Yeah. So playing in front of him is much worse. Playing in front of him, that's where everybody's coming up and they're trying to get into their position. For me, I'm not a huge, like, worrier about movement and noise and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't really bother me. especially when it's a big group of people. It's more just about, like, if there's one guy who's yelling at you to,
yeah.
But if there's just a bunch of guys that are moving around, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. It's probably why I've played well in Phoenix the last few years, because right. It's just not as big a deal.
Yeah, there's a different kind of movement often going on in Phoenix. Yeah. That's a different animal. You mentioned movement. That brings me to a question I wanted to get to you with you, Brendan, and that's if that doesn't bother you, does all the little movements and ticks of Keegan Bradley bother you when you guys play together? Because now Keegan,
you know,
I should tell people, of course, is a good friend of Brendan and of course a winner for the first time in I think about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but he does have a lot going on, right. Pre-shot routine. Right. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, so how much grief do you give Keegan over that? And although I don't know how much grief you can give him now that he's won again. So,
you know, I don't really give him much, and he doesn't do that really when we're playing in practice rounds.
Really?
So I think it's a little bit more of just a thing to make himself comfortable when he's trying to play well when there's a big shot. If you notice, like, if there's a really tough tee shot or a really important shot, probably more of that stuff comes out
right.
than if he's just playing a practice round with me. So I don't have to deal with it that much, but I mean, I don't mind it. Whatever it takes to play well. And I always really gave him a lot of credit for that in the past, because he's a guy who wouldn't hit a shot until he's ready, which I know can be annoying for people watching. But as a player, that's something that's really important. And I mean, there's so many times when I hit a shot and I'm like, man, I just wasn't ready for that. I was feeling like I was going to hit it left, or I didn't like where I was lined up and I hit it anyway. Or, you know, if it's a putt, like I use the line on the ball to line it up and it looks a little sideways, but I just kind of like try to push it out to the line a little bit to make it work. And that stuff doesn't work at all. So I always give him a lot of credit for just being knowing exactly what he needed to do and really getting into the shot the right way.
Well, you mentioned that, and of course, his first win at the BMW since 2012. How much, you know, there was a lot, obviously, a lot has changed since his last win. There was the ban on anchored putting. He obviously got married, started a family. How, you know, and you're a guy who won early in your career on the PGA Tour, and then went a span of a handful of years before you won again. How difficult can it be to follow up that first victory?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, because for me, it took 5 years, and I was a belly putter guy as well. So I didn't know that I could do it after that change. So that was really tough. And so that second win was huge for me. I mean, the sense of relief and accomplishment from that was massive. And then this Safeway last year felt a little bit more comfortable. It felt like more like what I should be doing. But I was with Keegan, you know, for the playoff and then after the playoff. And we just went out and grabbed some pizza, just the two of us, a little later that night. And I said, all right, so I know you're excited and you know, all that stuff, obviously, but are you more excited or more relieved? And he's like, it's almost all relief.
Really?
And that's the reason I asked him that, is because I knew the answer already. I knew right. how he was feeling. And it's, you feel all this pressure and you hear all the people talking about, you know, where's Keegan gone or this or that. Well, Keegan's been playing fine, but you know, he's got a lot of changes with the putting. You know, you get older, you get married, you have a baby, you know, there's all these life things that happen. And people only see, you know, what's going on the golf course.
Right.
And Keegan had a really good year. He played really well. He had been in the lead at one point or another, I think, in both of the first two playoff events, and just didn't quite finish them off. So you kind of get back there, you get a taste of it, you make the mistakes, and it hurts, but then you learn from it. You know you're playing well. But when you win, it's that sense of just like, oh, thank God. Like, I just needed to get that monkey off my back.
Right.
And so after that period of time and all the changes in his life, you know, that's the biggest sense, is relief. And then now I think moving forward, like, the next one will come easier and the one after that. And like, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of good things coming.
I feel like that's kind of the same way it is with Tiger right now, is that Tiger hasn't won.
You have to always bring up Tiger.
Well,
don't you?
I do, but it's a point that I think Tiger hasn't won in so long. I think once he gets that first victory, I think getting over that hump is a big relief. And then once you do get over that hump, it comes a lot easier. And I think that could be they said that way about anybody. I think would be that way with Ricky winning a major. I think just getting it off the back, stop having everybody call you the best player without a major. To finally win one, then it's easier to do it again and again and again once you know what that feeling's like again.
Yeah, and I mean, it we want to make Tiger out to be superhuman, and for a lot of years he was, but he feels the same things, you know, like he wants that win so bad that it's going to be relief, and it's going to be one of the best stories in sports history for him to come back and win. And then after that, you're right, like the floodgates are probably going to open.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him win, you know, Tour Championship next week and then win four or five times next year.
That would be crazy. Right.
Really, but it would be – I don't think it's that crazy the way he's been playing. It's not far off, and it looks really good. You know, everybody's, like, kind of dogging him for, oh, he hasn't won. He's playing good every week. Like, you got to be really impressed with what he's doing this year.
It is amazing because I don't think there's – at least anybody I've talked to, I don't think anyone would have predicted or did predict that he would – sort of return to this level this quickly. Is that the same for you as well? I mean, are you surprised that he's playing this well, this quickly, this often?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm mostly surprised that he's playing this well so frequently. Hmm. You know, obviously the skills are in there and it wouldn't be shocking to see him pop up and play well, even, you know, at a major or something like that. But it seems like week in and week out, he's playing well. And, you know, maybe there's a little something off here or there. You know, maybe he doesn't hold the putts or maybe he hits a couple bad drives here or there. But that's golf. Like, he's doing such a good job. And he's hitting so many amazing iron shots. I mean, I'm so impressed with it. Seems like anytime the pin's on the right side of the green and he has a short iron, he hits it to a foot. It's pretty wild stuff. But I am really impressed with everything he's done this year. It's super exciting to be a part of it, be around it, and so good for the sport.
Now, speaking of Tiger, there's a big match coming up next year. As you know, Tiger and Phil, we know you're good buddies with Phil. I feel like if Tiger had not been playing as well as he has, this match would never have even come up. It would never even been thought about. But now it's such a big deal. Where do you stand on the Tiger-Phil match? And I know you and Phil are buddies, so you probably obviously want Phil to win, but are you excited about this match as much as a golf fan is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about it. You know, I've heard kind of conflicting theories or ideas on it inside the locker room. You know, some guys are like, why are they doing this? It's stupid, whatever. I'm on the opposite side of it. I think it's awesome. I think it's great for the sport. I think it's super fun. Anything that we can do to be different and fun, I'm all for it. And so, you know, I think it's really smart of them from a business sense too. I mean, they're just building their own brand and doing their own thing. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, I hope that Phil wins it. I mean, I spend a lot of time with Phil and I think that would be pretty great, but, I think either way, it's going to be a lot of fun and hopefully they have a good match.
Are you going to the important question here is, are you going to buy it on pay-per-view?
Or will you be there to watch it live?
Or better, yeah.
Well, my wife actually doesn't like sports at all, doesn't like golf, but she likes Phil a lot, and they have a really good relationship, and she's like, we need to go out there and watch this thing and
really?
Cheer for Phil. And so if she wants to go, we may end up going, but at the very worst, we'll definitely be watching it.
That's
wow.
Super cool.
That is
Phil's
awesome.
Going to have a cheering section. I'm sure Tiger's going to have one of his own as well, too.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't do anything without a cheering section.
No, so that's, you know, it really is a cool deal. I saw a anonymous player poll the other day, and it said there were like 10% that thought this is kind of stupid. They don't understand why it's happening. But to me, I see it as it's just more visibility for the game of golf and get more
sure.
people to watch in a prime time event. I wish it were on broadcast television. I get why it's not. I get there's got to be money involved. I understand that. But I still think at the end of the day, anything that puts extra eyes on our sport is good for the sport.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. And I liken it to, you know, giving people different avenues to get into the game, to go play you know, like I'm a huge proponent of Top Golf just to get different people out that may not have the time to go play around or may think that golf is lame or whatever. And they go out to Topgolf and they go, oh, this is so fun. Like, we have drink service and couches and music and the things light up. And, you know, let me take a crack at that. I'll hit a couple, you know, and next thing you know, they get hooked and they love it. So I'm all about just finding ways to get people involved. And maybe this gets some new fans involved too, because they're like, oh, I'll watch just Tiger and Phil play. I don't know who these other guys are, but I'd watch Tiger and Phil play a match against each other.
Right. So, you know, speaking of getting more people involved in our sport, we're getting ready to have some rule changes. Are you a fan, Brendan, of maybe the thought process that there are too many rules and maybe the rules being the way they are have driven some people away from our sport? Are you a fan of the changes that we're getting ready to see going forward?
Yeah. So I am a fan of it. I mean, there's a few things with this, but I'm a fan of anything that makes it simpler. I'm tired of the, like, kind of gotcha rules situations. I mean, our sport self-polices anyway. I don't want to see anything happen like happened with Dustin, you know, at the Oakmont U.S. Open. Stuff like that is brutal, and it's not a good look for our sport. I don't know that the rules necessarily drive people away from the sport, but what I think that they do is people just don't play by them. So anybody that's playing around the club that I play with, nobody actually plays by the rules, you know? So it would be good to make them simple enough that everybody could understand them and really play by them. But it's kind of a two-pronged approach there. Like, you've got the PGA Tour. You want to make it simple. You don't want people watching going, wait, why? That doesn't seem like he got an advantage there, and now he's getting a two-shot penalty. Like, that's stupid. And then you've got the people that play recreationally that we'd love to get them playing by the rules all the time as well. You know, so, and I think the only way to do that is make it simple. I mean, most of the time the players don't even know a lot of the rules because they're so complex. And I know people go like, well, this is your job, you should know all the rules. And it's like, no, there's the way that it works these days, you call an official to make sure you don't make a mistake. Because even when you think you've got it right, it's cannot be right. So
have you ever seen a playing partner, a competitor? Have you ever seen somebody, and I guess it's hard to say knowingly or not, but have you ever seen somebody cheat or stretch the rules slightly in their favor?
I mean, the only things that happen that are really that can be really tough to figure out is like crossing the margin of a hazard. You know, like did that cover? Did it not? And that can be touchy because you can think, oh, that definitely didn't cover, and you know, the other playing partner goes like, oh yeah, I think you can drop up there. And then it's like, all right, well now what are we doing here? Like,
right.
You know, the guy who hit it thinks he wants to drop off up there. The other guy in the group says, yeah, it covered up there. And you're thinking like, there's no way. So you can get into those situations sometimes. I haven't seen anybody do anything like, you know, drop a ball or improve a lie or anything like that. But you do hear stories about guys. I mean, anybody that does anything that's questionable, everybody hears about it in the locker room, and everybody knows the guys that are, you know, maybe susceptible to that. And I don't think there's a lot of it going on, but, you know, you never know. There are opportunities. I mean, people will say to me like, oh, how could you even cheat out there? There's so many people and cameras and whatever. And it's like, no, there's really not, you know, like when you're out there on a Thursday in my group, you can probably get away with some stuff if you wanted to, because there's 15 people walking and maybe they're, you know, down the right side of the hole and there's no fans on the left side or there's nobody allowed to go over there and you hit it left and, you know, whatever. You could get away with something. I'm sure guys do from time to time, but I don't think it's very prevalent.
Right. That's good.
Speaking of rules, Brendan, and these are more unwritten rules, but I want to go back to your last start at the waterlogged BMW championship.
It never stopped raining.
Never stopped raining. You really kind of a funny story here for people that don't know. Brendan, your caddy, Christian Donald, was already booked on a flight home. You told him not to worry about changing it because you knew you couldn't advance really finishing up that final round. So you had a mutual friend fill in on the bag, a member of the media, Jason Sobel, caddy for the final round. And I want to know how Sobel did in terms of caddy rules. How did he comply? How did he do?
And did you bring him in on any reads or no?
And did you put a few extra bricks in the bag? Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, he had to fill it up with bricks. I wanted him to really pay for it out there. But Christian had a flight on Sunday night, and it looked like we weren't going to play all day Sunday, and Monday was even iffy. So I didn't know if we were going to be cut down to 54 holes. I'd played 6 weeks in a row. Christian's wife is pregnant. He lives in London. And I was like, you need to just go home. Like, you've battled through this rough trip with me. I haven't played well. You've worked super hard. Like, go home. And as I was kind of telling him that, Sobel walks up, and I'm like, you know, what are you doing on Monday? And he's like, oh, I'm supposed to play 36 holes here in Philly at this course and whatever. And I said, so what time's your flight? And he's like, 7 p.m. And I said, you want a caddy? And he goes, yeah, I'm in for sure. And then he's like, so who are we playing with? And I'm like, well, Phil. As a starter. He's like, are you kidding me? You know, because I mean, it would be easy to play with just like a couple average guys out there, but then you're out there and you're caddying in the group of Phil, so now it's a little crazier. But Sobel did a good job. I took it super easy on him. He didn't have to get any numbers, he didn't have to do any reads. He said afterwards that he was basically just a human push cart. But and he didn't have to worry about a lot of other things too, because we were the last group off 10. So when we turned, he didn't have to worry about like even raking a bunker or anything like that. Nobody was coming back through. And then it was lift clean in place as well. So even if he didn't put a divot back, it didn't matter because nobody's going to get stuck in one.
Wow, that's cool.
Well, I think the most amazing thing I heard in that whole telling of the story was the fact that he turned down playing golf, a golf writer turning down playing golf at, you know, God knows what posh,
right,
sort of uber exclusive golf club he was playing in Philly on Monday to go caddy. How about that? A golf writer turning down a free round of golf to go caddy.
That's breaking news right there.
Right. And glad to hear that he didn't break any rules and you know, you took it easy on him not to break his spirit. But we'll wrap it up on this, Brendan. We've got the end of the season coming up this week, with the FedEx Cup finale, the Tour Championship, and then of course on to the Ryder Cup. We can't let you out of here without a couple of predictions. What you think will happen maybe in the FedEx Cup in terms of who you would look to win that, and then of course the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. So, I mean, FedEx Cup, gosh, that's a tough one right now.
Who in your mind is playing the best golf right now of anybody on tour?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely Bryson. Right. I don't know where he finished at BMW, but I mean, obviously what he did the first 2 weeks was pretty incredible. And I know he had a chance to win in like Germany or something right before that.
Right.
And then obviously Memorial wasn't that long ago when he won there too. So the stuff that he's doing right now is pretty incredible. I've played with him a few times and he's unlike anybody else the way that he plays, and some of the stuff he does is just so impressive. I mean, his ball flight and his distance control and just how he does everything can scramble my brain, but he does it so well. I mean, I would say he's probably the favorite, but you know, I wouldn't expect him to win just because there's so many other guys too. So,
right.
If he's the favorite, you know, he'd be the favorite at 10%, and then, you know, it goes down from there. But I would look out for Keegan, honestly. Like I would say that all the time, but he hits it so good. He's been statistically the best driver on the tour, total driving, I think the last 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
So you get a guy going like that with a little bit of confidence and holding some putts, and he could be really, really tough. And you know, he won the PGA Championship at Atlanta Athletic Club just down the road there. And then he's also has been to Tour Championship 3 or 4 times as well. So, you know, I expect him to have a really good week. Moving on to the Ryder Cup, I've played that golf course a few times. I played the French Open there 3 times. And so I know it a little better than most, I would say. I think it sets up pretty well for, you know, maybe not necessarily the Americans in the sense of like, you know, big bombing, what we think of, like, we want a big wide course with, where the bombers can smash away. That's not really the course the way it is, but it is like kind of Americanized in the sense of like the green complexes are pretty normal. They roll really true. They're going to be a normal speed for the PGA Tour. They're not going to be like extra slow or anything crazy like that.
Right.
I expect Phil to play really well there. We talked about it a little bit. There's not a ton of drivers out there, which is good for Phil, you know, so he can kind of just smash his low little driving iron out there. And then in the alternate shot, they can get a lot of wedges in his hands and short irons and stuff. So I expect to see Phil play really well, just because it kind of takes away the one thing that can get him in trouble.
Yeah, even though it appears he's gotten figured out recently, I think that bodes well for Tiger as well. And the American team is that he can hit those long irons off the tees and not have to pull out driver.
Yeah. And that was, I was going to say that next, is that I think that bodes really well for Tiger. I think, you know, when he gets to hit those stingers and stuff off the tee, the way he hits his irons and chips it and, you know, and even putts it. I know everybody's kind of gotten up in arms about his putting here and there, but I think statistically it's pretty good this year. I expect to see those guys play really well. And if Tiger and Phil play really well, the rest of the team is so good.
I just want to see a Tiger and Phil US pairing. Team. I want to see them play together.
Yeah. You know, I would love to see that too. And maybe this is the time to do it. I think when they did it before, what, with Hal Sutton, was that right?
That was not the time.
I think this is the time. I mean, this is, at that point, I think they were probably 1 and 2 in the world, and that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
And maybe that doesn't quite fit, you know, with whatever they were doing. So, but now I think it would be pretty cool. And I think they'd be super excited to go out there and try to kick some ass. So, but that being said, this European team is really, really good too. So I think it's going to be quite the match. The course, the last few holes is going to be perfect for match play. Amphitheater, some trouble in play. There's water on 15, 16 kind of in play with a front pin. And then 18 is one of the hardest holes you'll ever see, especially depending on where the wind is. There's water all up the left, water around the green. It's almost like a semi-island green. So that hole can be really tough. And so under the pressure of a Ryder Cup, I'm excited to see those last couple holes. But I think overall it's going to be a great week. Should be some awesome golf. I'm going to go with Team USA to pull out a narrow victory, but it should be fun to watch.
Good deal. Brendan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know you've got your own podcast as well, and we'd like to give you a little time to, you know, push that as well if you'd like.
Yeah, so it's called Member Guest, and started it with a couple buddies of mine. One of them's the bass player for Linkin Park. He's a big golfer, and our other buddy Mark, who's a big golfer as well, does all the videography and stuff for Linkin Park, and so he does all the grunt work for the podcast. But we've had golfers on there. You know, we've had Keegan, Charlie Hoffman, John Mallinger, John Curran, Jamie Lovemark, those kind of guys that we're friends with. And then we've had musicians on there. So lead singer from Avenged Sevenfold, the drummer from Green Day, guitarist from Of Mice and Men. So it's kind of a blend of golf and music. And then we've had other athletes on there as well. So like hockey players and then just like we just recently did one with a style guru, golf style guru, Michael Williams, which is really fun. And so we just try to grab guys that we're friends with that we like to hang out with and sit around and kind of just have a couple beers and tell stories. And it's been a ton of fun for me to do something that's not by myself and that isn't just golf related. And I think it's turned out pretty well. So people have kind of enjoyed it. So if anybody out there is interested, it's the Member Guest Podcast, and it's on iTunes, Spotify, member-guest.com, and pretty much every other podcast vehicle. So
awesome.
That's my plug.
Good deal. Well, Brendan, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you next season, and we'll be watching this weekend at Atlanta and watching the Ryder Cup.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Thanks, dude. See ya.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.